The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Gemara in Masechet Megillah, on Daf Chof Zayin Amud Beis, and Daf Chof Ches. Shalu Talmidim v'Reb Zakkai. The Talmidim asked Reb Zakkai, "V'mei arach t'yomim?" He had lived to a very ripe old age. They asked him, "Why have you lived so long?" He gave them an answer, and his answer was very exact. He listed off a number of mitzvahs, or of midas tevas, good acts and good qualities that he always lived by. Then the Gemara goes further. And the Gemara says, "Shalu Talmidov es Reb Lezer ben Shamua." The Talmidim asked Reb Lezer ben Shamua, this was another case, "Bamei arachtu yomim?" Why have you lived so long? And he answered them also with an exactness, the diktuk. Then the Gemara goes further, "Shalu Talmidov es Refredo." The same thing. "Shalu Talmidov es Reb Lezer ben Shamua." The Talmidim, the disciples, asked Reb Lezer ben Shamua, "Bame harachti yomim?" "Es Reb Nachunya ben Kono." God brings a case with Rebbe Kiva. "Shalu Rebbe Kiva es Rebbe Nachunya hagodl? Bamei harachtu yomim?" Why have you lived so long? Then "Shalu Rebbe es Rebbe Shua ben Korcha?" Rebbe asked Rebbe Shua ben Korcha, "Why have you lived so long?" He said, "Omalei katsto bechayoy." He said, "Why are you asking me why I have lived so long? Are you unhappy that I'm around for such a long time? What are you asking me this for?" Rashi says, "Furin ho Yeshua kotz b'chayov." So he answered. He said, "Rebbe, Torahi ulilmed ani tzorich. This is Torah, and I have to learn." Rashi says, "Ulai uchal akayim. Maybe I can emulate you." And the Gemara says, "Shol Talmidav es Reb Zeira." They asked Reb Zeira. So the Gemara brings many, many cases. And each one gave a different answer, and a number of things. One said that he was always, amongst the things that he was always very careful with, he was always very careful for Kiddush Shal Shabbos. Or, for example, he never accepted gifts. Or, for example, he would never become angry. Or he never was mischabed, he never took honor from the shame of someone else. Or miyomele karmam yomele beis hamedrash. Or no one ever was first before me in the beis hamedrash in the morning. And on and on. And each one had his answers. What do we learn from this Gemara? We learn a number of great principles. First of all, today, if you ask someone, "Why have you lived so long?" Most people will, if they'll answer you, they'll tell you, "Well, I watch my health. I don't smoke. I've always watched my diet. I do exercise," which is all very important. But they do not give answers like these. Others will say, "Shh, don't talk about it. I don't like to talk about my blessings. Be quiet. Don't give me an ayin hara. I just take it, I don't think about it. We see from this, the first principle we see from this Gemara is HaKol B'dinu B'yesha. Whatever a person has, here we're speaking about brachas, a blessing, it's meted out to him for a reason, and it's B'dinu B'yesha, and it's with exact justice. Like we learn in this week's Parsha Hazina, Pasuk Lamed Beis Hatzur Tomim Po'olei Ki Kol Drochav Mishpat. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's justice is without blemish, and all his ways are ways of exactness and justice, and they're not matnes chinam. There are no free rides in this world. There are no free lunches in this world. None of them answered. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me long life. He was good to me. Now, he was good to me. That's not why he gives you long life. You have to be deserving of long life. And they all looked for reasons why they were deserving. There are no free rides. And there is nothing that's a mikrokora. There's nothing that just happens. A person gets a brocha, it happened. It does not happen. It happens because of an exact and a definite reason. Because I never became angry all of my life. Or I never took honor in someone else's shame. Or I refused always to accept gifts, or whatever it might be. Further we see that if a person has a bracha, he's obligated to ask himself, why does he have that bracha? We are speaking here with giants of the world, the great Tanoim. And everyone didn't have to think. He had already calculated exactly why did he live so long. And each one didn't stammer or say, maybe it was this or maybe it was that. Or maybe it was something else entirely differently. But each one answered exactly. It was because of this and this and this. They had studied and analyzed their brocha to find out, why am I deserving of this brocha? And we see further from this another principle. We see that they were capable of finding reasons, and their reason, because they didn't answer ulai, perhaps. They said it was because of this, and it was because of this. And we see further from the Gemara that it is a mitzvah for others, not the Baal Brocha himself, but from others, to try to find out, what did that person do to deserve this? Torehi ulelel mairani tzorich ulai eske gamani, Rabbi Kiva said. You have to tell me. He says, what's bothering you? I'm living too long for you. Why do you want to know? He says, Torehi, because I can learn from it. And maybe I will also be able to emulate your good deeds and then also have such long years. These are all of the principles that we see from this Gemara. We have another Gemara. Gemara brings a Masechta Brachos. And Daf Ches. Omru Leil Rabbi Yechidon. They told Rabbi Yechidon in Eretz Yisrael, Iko Sabi Bebavl. There are people who live a long time in Bavl, in Chutz Loretz. Tomo, the Omar, Rabbi Yechidon, took offense. He said, how can that be? Leman yirbu yameichem v'yamei v'neichem al adom aksiv. It says that you will merit long life for you and your children in Eretz Yisrael. This is a bracha that was given to Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael. Kiven da amri le mekadme umechashke le lebeit kinishto. When they told him that these people get up early and they stay late in the beit kinishto, in the shuls, Hainu da'ani lehu. Then Rabbi Yochanan says, I understand now. Kiroma Rabbi Shuben Levi lebaneho, like Rabbi Shuben Levi told his children, Kadima v'chashicho v'ayol v'kinishto kehechi de torichu chaye. Get up early, all of your lives, to go to the shuls and the Beis HaMedrash, and stay late in the shuls and the Beis HaMedrash, and you will have long life. Now, what do we see from this Gemara? Besides the fact that we see what gives long life, we see the same principles. When they told Rabbi Yochanan that there are people that live many years in Chutz Loretz, he took offense. He says, that cannot be. What do you mean that can't be? They watched their health. They did their exercise. They live very long. Toma, the Omar, he says, no, it can't be. That was a bracha given for those living in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Loretz. What was bothering Rabbi Yochanan? So they lived like that. So it happened. It doesn't happen. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it doesn't happen. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to give it to them. No. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give bracha to people unless they are deserving of it. And he knew with his wisdom, with his chokhmah, what deeds bring long life. And he said that can only be in Eretz Yisrael. Tom of Amar, he won't accept it. He finally settled down, cooled down, when they told him that those people that live very long, they were ones that got up very early all of their lives and went to the shuls, and they stayed a long time in the shuls late at night. Oh, he says, now you're saying a different story. Now I understand it. We see the same principle, that if a person has a brocha, there has to be a reason why he has the brocha. It didn't come to him just like that. It didn't come to him as a free ride, but he was deserving of it. And the Yochanan wanted to know why were they deserving of it. And he was not satisfied until he found the reason. We have another Gemara. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. Gemara brings in Perek Kol Kisvei Daf Kuf Yud Tes. Boy minei Rebbe Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe said, Rebbe asked Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi, Ashidim shebe Eretz Yisrael b'ameh hein zeichin. When we see someone who has a great wealth and he lives in Eretz Yisrael, Rebbe asked Rebbe Shmuel, what did they do to merit that great wealth? Omalei bishvil shema asrin, shenemar aser ta'aser, aser bishvil tishis aser. He says, because they gave maisras, they gave to the Levi from their crops the tenth that they were supposed to give. And in the Torah it says this brings wealth, This is why they have wealth. He then asks, Shebabovel mamehim sochim. When you see people with great wealth in Bovel, outside of Eretz Yisrael, what did they do to merit it? Amalei bishvil shemachabdin es haTorah. Bovel was known for Kovod haTorah. That's where the Talmud Bavli was made. They had great Kovod haTorah. Because they gave honor to Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu rewarded them with wealth. Ubishar arotzes bamehim zochim. Oh, that was Bovel. What about the other lands where there was not Kovod haTorah and there was not Maaser? How did they become wealthy? Omalei bishvil shemachabdin es haShabbos. Because they honored Shabbos. And since they gave so much honor to Shabbos, they merited the bracha of wealth. Domer Rebchia bar Abba. Rebchia bar Abba says, Pam achas nisarachti etzol balabayis belutkayo. One time I was traveling and I came to a city, Lutkayo, and I stayed over Shabbos by a balabais. Ve'yafil lefonov shulchan shel zohov. And when it came to the Suda Friday night, they brought in a table of gold. Masu shisha osar b'nei odom. It was so large and heavy, it took 16 people to carry it. V'sheish esrei shalsholeis shel kesev kavuos boy. And there were 16 silver chains in the table. And on all these chains were beautiful bowls and cups and crystal and whatnot. The all of kol mini Michael, the kol mini Megodim ubisomi. And on this table was all of the best foods and the best delicacies, the best drinks, and even besomim, sweet-smelling spices. Ukishaminichim, I say, and when they put it down, emlim lashem ha'oretz mala'ei. The servants that brought it in would say to Hashem, belongs the entire world. Ukishamasalkin, I say, and when they would remove the table, Emrim Hashomaim Shomaim LaHashem, the Ores Nosan Livnei Odom. They would say, the heavens belong to Hashem, and the earth he gave to people. This story is brought also in the Medrash Rabban Bereishis, in Perek Yud Aleph Eis Dalet. And there it says, firstly, it says that it was a little different. There was a Tinaik, there was a child that was sitting in the center of the table. And he would be machris. He would shout out these psukim. Kidei shalei tozus daiti shel balabais. The balabais had him do this so he should not forget where his wealth has come from. Amarti lei. I said to him, Reb Chia, who was the guest, I said to him, Bini, my son, what did you do that you merited all of this wealth? Omali, he answered me, I used to be a butcher. And every time I saw a beautiful animal, I used to set it aside for Shabbos. This I'll keep for my customers on Shabbos. Omarti lei, I said to him, Ashrecho shezochiso, how fortunate that you have merited this, uborach hamokom shezikech lakach. And blessed is Hashem who gave you this. Now let's analyze this story. Firstly, Rebbe was troubled. Boyminei, he asked Rebbe Shmuel Ben Yosi, people in Eretz Yisrael, why are they wealthy? What's the question, why are they wealthy? And they're wealthy because they're wealthy. That's why. What's bothering them? You want more reasons? I'll give you more reasons. They worked hard. You want more reasons? They were good businessmen. All right, more reasons. They're very clever. See, they're good seicher, good merchants. What's bothering them? One more reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to them. Or in his galgal adovah, it happened that way. They were lucky. Daimine Rebbe wanted to know, why are people wealthy in Eretz Yisrael? And Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shmuel but Rabbi Yossi answered him, because they are careful in the mitzvah of Meiser. And the Torah told us that when you give Meiser, if you're careful in the mitzvah of Meiser, you will be zeicher to Ashirus. Then he had another car. He says that explains in Eretz Yisrael, where this Meiser, you have to give a tenth of the crops to the Levi. What will you say in Bovel? No, let's give the same series of answers. No. He says, Shemachabdin Hoyu Asatera, because there was great Kovar Atera there, there were great yeshivas, and great Tanoim, and great Amoroim. Okay. Then he said, that's good in Bovel. In Shara Arotzes, and the rest of the lands, why? With what schus? So he says, because they were Machabdines HaShabbos. They gave cover to Shabbos. And then the Gemara brings a story. You see the same principles. There are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives what seems to be a brocha to a person, that might not be a brocha though. Chazal tell us, Rosh HaVetevlei, sometimes there's an evil man, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's done some good things in his life, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want him around in the next world, so he pays him off in this world. But these are isolated cases. So we see the same principle. If a person has a bracha, there's a reason for it. I will say that he worked hard, and he was clever, and he was in the right places at the right time. Emes, you have to work hard. You have to be clever. You have to be in the right places in the right time. Ein semichen al anes, because I'll say you cannot depend on miracles unless you're a very, very great person. If you're great like our prophets, Moshe Rabbeinu maybe. But who are we? It says even the Avos Ha'Elam were careful not to rely on miracles. We can't expect that it's going to rain down from heaven. So we have to work hard, and we have to be clever, and we have to be at the right time and right place. But there are millions or billions of people that have been clever, that have worked hard, and that have been in the right time, in the right place, and they didn't become wealthy. So why have you become wealthy? And to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to give you a free ride. No, there's no free rides in this world. Hakol bedinu mishpat atzur tamim po'olei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's justice is perfect. And if he would give free rides, that's an imperfect justice. Maybe it just happened. That's kfira, the Gemara says. To say maybe it just happened, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in charge. He's not in charge. Things can happen even though he didn't will it to happen. That's kfira. That's atheism. So the question remains. So that's one principle that we see. But then we see another principle. That if you have a brocha, the Chazal searched to find out why they had the brocha. They didn't say, let's not talk about it. See, let's not talk about it. What are you, kiksil b'cheshech heilech? You go through the world like a fool with no eyes. They searched. Boy minei. Why are they wealthy in Eretz Yisrael? That answers Eretz Yisrael, but why Bovel? That answers Bovel, but why Shara Rotzes? They searched for the reason. And they weren't satisfied until they came up with the right reason. And then we see further from this Gemara. We see that when he came to Lutkayo, he was traveling. Reb Yossi. Excuse me. It was Reb Chiya. He came to Lutkaya, and he says he goes to a house and he said, Achti by a balabos. And he sees all of this wealth here. What does he do? He asks him, Bini, he says, my son, Bamezochiso, what did you do to merit all of this wealth? What is he asking him for? How's he supposed to know? Is he a Tano? Bishlom Rebbe, Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Yossi, where they, none of the secrets of the world were concealed from them. So they could find the reason. But what's he asking? This is a plain balabos. Katsovo, you see, I was a butcher. Doesn't even say he was a Talmid Chacham. Balabai saw you. So what's he asking him for? We see from here that a plain balabos also has to ask himself, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give me this blessing? And we see further that it's the power was given also to a plain balabos to find out why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me this blessing. Because when he told him this, he says, Ashrecho shezochiso lekach. You are right. You are right in your analysis. And Baruch HaMokam shezikach lekach. So we see this is not something which is preserved for the prophets or for the great Chachmei HaMishnah. But also even Katsofa, you see. I was a plain butcher. But what did I do when I saw a good animal? Instead of selling it off on Monday or Tuesday, I says, let me shecht it. I'll shecht it Friday morning. And I'll sell it Friday to everybody so they'll have the best meat for Shabbos. He knew because he searched and he found the answer. We have a Medrash. The Medrash tells us in Vayera, Medrash Rabba Nun Vav, Oschof, Vayoshev Avraham El Neorov. After the Arkadish Yitzchok, that Avraham brought Yitzchok to be sacrificed. And then the angel came and said, no, don't sacrifice your son. Cut him loose. And the angel came and said as follows. We read this on Rosh Hashanah. Vayikro Malach Hashem el Avraham Shenis min Hashamayim. This is at the end of Vayikro. And the Malach Hashem called to Avraham the second time from the heaven. Vayeme binish bati num Hashem. And he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes an oath. Ki yan asher osiso asadover azeh. You have done this. And you have not even kept back your own son, my your own son and your only son. Ki varecha varechecho ve'arbo arbe azaracho. You shall be blessed and blessed. All of those who bless you will be blessed. And your seed will be multiplied like the stars of the heaven. V'chachol, and like the sands asher al sfas hayom, of the sea. V'yirash zaracha eshar oivov. And your seed shall inherit the gates of their enemies. V'zborachu v'zaracha kol goyei ha'oretz. And your, all of the nations of the world will be blessed because of your seed. Ekev asher shomate b'keili, because you have listened to my voice. The Chazal Darshan, Ekev asher shomate b'keili, you have listened to my voice, you have kept my Torah. Then it states, Vayoshev Avraham el Noorv. Avraham returned to the lads. He had left at the foot of the mountain. He had left Ishmael and Eliezer, his servant, with the donkey. Now there's something wrong with this posuk, because it states by Yoshev Avraham, Avraham returned to his lads. When it writes that he left them, it says by Yelchu Shnehem Yachtov, he and Yitzchok left the lads and went up the mountain. Now it says Avraham, he returned to the lads. So the Medrash asks, the question, the Yitzchok Heichen Hoyo, what happened to Yitzchok? Did he leave him on the mountain? Rabun b'shem Rabon and the Tamon. Rabun answers in the name of the Rabbonin, Sholchu Eitzel Shem Lilmed Mimeno Torah. From the mountain, he sends Yitzchok off in another direction. He sent him to the yeshiva of Shem, the son of Shem, to learn Torah. Now the question is, why is he doing it, and what's the haste? Right from there, from the top of the mountain, let him come home. He'll pack a suitcase and then he'll go. From the top of the mountain, he sends him in a different direction, and then Avraham comes back himself. This is an example of a woman who became very wealthy because she owned a great area of land, and she became very wealthy from it. Omra, she said, Ho'ilu min aplach hazeh isashalti, od einai zoz mitachas yodai la'ilam. Because I became so wealthy from this piece of land, then I will never allow this piece of land to depart from my assets, from my fortunes. Because this is what brought me my wealth. Kachom Avraham, so did Avraham say, Kol sheboli yodi ein elabish filsho sakti betorah mitzvos. He said, look, the angel has come with an oath from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's heaped brachas on me like no man ever had before. He said that you will be blessed, your children will be blessed. Not you'll have many children, you'll have children that number the stars of the sky and the sands of the shore. And all of the nations of the world will be blessed because of your children. And they will conquer all of their enemies. It didn't stop heaping brachas on me. Now, Abraham didn't say, no, thank you, and go away. He didn't say, kinahora, kinahora, let's not talk about it. What did he say? He says, I have to understand why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving me these brachas? Why? And kachom Avraham, kol shebo liyodi, everything that has come to my hands, ein ela bishvil sha'asakti b'torah u'mitzvos, is only because of one reason. Ekev asher shomata b'keli. Because I studied his Torah and I fulfilled his Torah. He says, let's not make any confusion here. There is one reason, and one reason alone, Avraham said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me these brachas. It's not because he likes me. It's not because he wants to be good to me. It's not because it just happened. There is one reason and one reason alone. Kol shebo liyode, he told Yitzchak. Everything that I have today with all of these promises, and that's with an oath from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Promises many times means nothing. But this is Ne'um Hashem, Shvua, an oath. He says, B'nei she'osakti b'torah u'mitzvos, because I fulfilled this Torah and mitzvos. And he said, Lefichach eini reitze she'tozuz mizari la'elon. I do not want this to leave my household forever. And therefore, Yitzchok, now you go to the yeshiva of Shem to study Torah and mitzvahs to guarantee that these brachas stay in our family. This is what we see from the Medrash. Again we see, you get a bracha, you don't close your eyes and take it. You have to analyze why it's coming to you, because of some merit. You have to find out what merit. And you have to learn from it. Torihi. So you could emulate further. We find, we brought these examples. When they would see someone who lived so long, they would want to know why. He took care of his health. I'll show you a million people that take care of their health and they die young also. You got many people that are very healthy and they die. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Gzardin, now it's time to die. When they saw someone wealthy, I want to know why, what happened with this wealth. It seems a bro. I worked hard. There are millions of people that work hard. Never become wealthy. And when Avraham got his brochus, we have the same thing in the converse. That if a person sees the opposite of brochus coming upon him, the Gemara brings him a sechta brochus. And Daf Hey. Omar Ova v'iteima Rav Chisdo Imreya Odom Shiyisurin Boyin Olav. If a person sees that difficulties, tzoras, is coming upon him, Yefashfesh b'maisov, what is he supposed to do? He has to start to be mefashfesh b'maisov. He has to analyze and search his deeds. As it states, we will search and analyze our ways. If we see sufferings and so forth, then the Gemara says, fish face umotso. So he starts to make a self-analysis of he and his deeds and so forth. And he finds out what he's doing wrong, yase tshuva. Then he has to go and do tshuva. He has to repent, as it states, v'noshuva ar Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu is glad to accept tshuva. Fish face v'lei motso. But what happens if he searches and he can't find anything? Yis lebebitu Torah. Then he should accredit it to that he is not learning Torah enough. Shneamar, as it states, Ashira Gever Asheti Yasrenu Ko Umiseroscho Slamdeno. Fortunate is the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings rebuke to, he brings suffering to, and which will cause him to go and learn his Torah. Then the Gemara says further, Vim Tolav Le Motso. What happens if he analyzes it and he finds out that in accordance to his particular circumstances he is learning the maximum that he can? What should he do then? Then he can be assured that they are yisurin sha'avo, they are rebuke, sufferings which are known as coming from the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar ki es asher yo'av Hashem yechiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings rebuke to those who he loves. Like the Torah says, who do you scold? Your child or the neighbor's child? Who do you discipline? Your child or the neighbor's child? See? Who are you tougher with? Your child or the neighbor's child? Neighbor's child, you say, that's his problem. The way his kid grows up, that's his problem. See? My child's going to be perfect. Same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To those who he doesn't love, no, leave him. But to those he loves, they're going to be perfect. And a person grows and becomes perfect. How do you become strong? How do you become a great athlete? Which athlete is the coach the hardest on? He says, this guy has mediocre potential. This one can become great. Or if a great musician has disciples, this one is mediocre. This one is a genius. He'll be 100 times tougher on that one than anyone else. Kodesh Baruch Hu's mechiach, those that he loves, because this is what makes him. But what do we see from this Gemara? The same principles. Yesurin comes on a person, it's not coming, just coming, just happened. Yefash Vesh V'Maishov. We have to analyze ourselves as to why is it coming. Because HaKol Beis Hashem, everything comes from HaKodesh Baruch Hu. If we say that it doesn't, that's kfira. Then you're denying in the Achdus, in the oneness of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, that he rules the entire world. Maybe he's bringing it for no purpose. Chas v'sholom. Atzur tomim upolo. Vein ovel b'mishpot. HaKodesh Baruch Hu's justice is perfect. There is no imperfection in it. How can he be bringing it for no purpose? Therefore, Yifash v'Maisov, we have to search. If we search and find, good. What happens if we don't find? Then the Gemara says, it's probably Bittul Torah. We're not learning enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to drive us to learn more. This is how he's driving us to learn more. But what happens? You see the whole analysis here. And it's not something just you take it mistama. More comes back. And what happens if he's not, if there's not Bittul Torah? He's a person, he's learning as much as he possibly can. You're going to tell me it's Bittul Torah? Then be a doer, she is surin shel ahava. Then it's not because coming because of chet, not coming because of something he's not doing that he did wrong. It states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tougher with Avram Avinu than any other individual. Asher nishaynes niso Avram Avinu. He gave him 10 enormous tests because of the potential that he saw in Avram Avinu. So then it's coming as Yisurin Shalava. But what do we see? We see a whole analysis. And why should we have an analysis though? Am I wise enough to find the answers? It doesn't say here that this is for the Chachmei HaMishnah. This is an instruction for everyone. So evidently that the power was given to every individual to penetrate and to understand why things are happening to him. People say, things are happening to me and I don't know why they're happening. If that would be the case, so why mefashe v'maisav? What do we have to analyze? We can't find the answers anyhow. From here we see that we can find the answers. And if people say that things are happening to me and I don't know why they're happening, is because they're not following what the sages are instructing us with. This principle, whether it's for good, a brocha, or whether it's not for good, this principle is in the Mishnah, the Masechta Seta, first parak, Daf Ches Amud Beis and Daf Tes Amud Beis. Mishnah states, "B'mida she'adam meidot, bo meidin in lei." With the measuring cup that a person uses himself to execute his deeds, it is with that same cup HaKadosh Baruch Hu reimburses him. Bein l'tov, bein l'ra. If it's a reward, he uses the same measuring cup. If it's, heaven forbid, not a reward, it's the same measuring cup. And then the Mishnah elaborates. First it starts to talk about the Seita, the unfaithful wife, and what the Torah dealt out to her which is a very severe punishment. The Mishnah explains how it was all dealt out to her, because this is what exactly she did in her unfaithfulness. And it goes through step by step. Then it goes to Shimshon. Shimshon holach achar einov. Shimshon, Samson, he always had a problem where he was tempted by his eyes. Lefichoch nokru plishtim es einov. And Shimshon was a tzaddik gadol, an enormously righteous person. He was a great person. We gave a shiur on him not long ago. He was a great person. He was compared to Yehuda, a great shefet be Israel. But nevertheless, lefichof nokru plishtim es einov. This is why that in his end, the plishtim, the Philistines, took out his eyes. Avishalom, the son of David HaMelech, nizgoy besarei. He became enormously inflated, arrogant over his hair. The Gemara brings that he had from the most beautiful hair of all creations. Lefichach nitle besarei. How did he die? He was riding and his hair got caught in a tree and he became hung. Ulefisha bala eser pilakshe oviv. He went and he took 10 concubines from his father. And he took them as his own. This actually was a declaration by him that he would become the king. So he took over the concubines of his father. Because he did this, this is why Lefichach Nitna Bayasel, we find the Tanakh comes and tells us that when he was hanging, they went and they stuck him with 10 spears. Wasn't just happened that it was 10 spears. This was the Mido Kenegan Mido, the Bemido Shato made it, by made it in Lay. Then the Mishnah goes further. Vechein linyan atova. And so do we see in regards to reward. Miriam Hintina Lameisha Shoachas. Miriam, she stayed by Meisha for a short amount of time when he was put by in the river. She wouldn't leave him. She put her life at risk, because if they would relate that the child had something to do with her and she was saving him and he was an Ivri and he was supposed to be killed in the river, her own life was at risk. She guarded him and she saved him. Lefichach nisakfu lo Yisrael zayin yomim bamidbar. Shenemar va'om le'nasa nosa ad he'osev Miriam. When Miriam was stricken with leprosy and she had to go outside of the camp, it was time for the camp to move on. She could have moved on also. She would have just had to stay outside. But she could have moved on with them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. He told Moshe, you wait 7 days until she can come back into the camp. Now imagine the cover, the honor. This was the 600,000. There were millions of Jews. Millions of Jews. There was the whole Sanhedrin, Shim Zekenim. The Moshe's court, Yeshua, Elozer. The greatest people in Klal Yisrael were told, don't move for 7 days until Miriam can come back. Now, something just happened. This was her reward because she went and waited over Moshe Rabbeinu. A little more insight into that is Moshe was equal to all of Klal Yisrael. So it's as if she waited for all of Israel, therefore all of Israel had to wait for her. Tosfos brings, and Afyur Aleph, in the name of the Tesefta, that when the Mishnah says, V'chein linyan hatova, this is also a principle when it comes to paying reward. He says that Tosefta says Mida Tova Meruba Mimidas Peronias Al Achas Chomesh Meis. No, it's more. That when a Kodesh Baruch Hu dishes out a reward for a person, it's 500 times to one. He pays that when he dishes out punishment, it's 1 to 1. He dishes out reward, it's 500 times to one. Then the Mishnah goes further. It states, Yosef Zocha Likvor Es Oviv. Yosef was the one who went to bury his father. Vein Barachov Godl Mimeno. Shnema Bayal Yosef Likvor Es Oviv. There was no greater one in all of Israel than Yosef, because he was the king. He could have said, I'm the king, I have to wait here. You take our father back to Eretz Yisrael and you bury him. But Yosef left his throne, went all the way from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael to bury his father. Kovod Godol, this is an enormous honor, because Yosef was more than the king of Egypt. Yosef had become the most powerful man in the world, because the famine swept through the whole world, the Gemara says. Although this would happen later on. There was already the famine. That's what brought Yitzchok down, Yaakov down, and all the world had to come unto Yosef. And it states that when alien armies came and they saw this whole entourage coming, and they thought they would start trouble, when they saw Yosef there, they all took their crowns and hung it on the oren, on the casket. So this was the honor that Yosef gave to his father. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have to repay Yosef. Therefore, who was the one that ended up burying Yosef? Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Vayikach Moshe es atzmes Yosef imoy. Moshe himself was the one that buried Yosef, that took Yosef, the atzmes, the remains of Yosef, out of Egypt, and with him all of the time. And that was the reward, according to Baruch Hu said, Ein ovel mishpat. My justice is perfect. And then came another problem, the Mishnah says. Moshe went himself to bury Yosef. He didn't have to. He had enough to do that night. That night was the Yetzias Mitzrayim. That night was the Makas Becheres, the smiting of the firstborn. Moshe had the whole plagues with the Asik of Parai for a year and everything on his head. But he still found time. He says, we took an oath to Yosef that when we leave with him. He comes with us. And they didn't know where he was. The Egyptians had concealed him. Some say in the Medrash they concealed him at the bottom of the river. And in the middle of the night, Moshe went to go find him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have to repay Moshe for that. And who is there to repay Moshe? If Moshe buried Yosef, I have to have someone as great as Moshe to bury Moshe. Who is there? There is no one. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to bury him myself. Vayik Parasei Begai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no man buried Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. In order to fulfill the perfect justice that B'mida Shemaydidin Shemodad Ha'odam Bay Maydidin Bay. And the reason for this is, like we said, the Maral explains it. The klal of Mido Keneged Mido is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's justice is perfect. And therefore it has to be Mido Keneged Mido. And then there's another reason. It's a deeper reason. Part of the same reason. A person's deeds, they are his fruits. as it states, Eile told this Neach, Neach ishtam tzadikoy b'dei reisav. These are the generations, these are the children of Neach. And then it says Neach was a righteous person. What's it got to do with his children? So the Chazal say, no. The children of a person are his deeds. These are his greatest deeds. These are his greatest children. Because they are fruits. Just like a tree bears fruits, so does a man bear fruits. But the children that the man bears, no, that's a secondary fruit. Iker told Esav, his main fruits is what he does in the world. What he does with his mind, what he does with his nefesh, his heart, and what he does with his body. These are his fruits. And a person eats his own fruits. And therefore, if he gives forth wonderful fruits, these fruits will sustain him. If he gives forth, heaven forbid, rotten fruits, these also will sustain him. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech said, King Solomon said in his wisdom. Here he was speaking in regards to the mouth, to the fruits of the mouth. But this is the general principle. He said, you should know, Momis b'chaim b'yad haloshem. The mouth gives forth fruits. It can give forth fruits of death or fruits of life. You say a bad word to someone or about someone, he says that's fruits of death. You say a good word about someone, or you say divrei Torah, these are fruits of life. V'ohaveha yechal pirya. And the one who loves these fruits shall eat them. What does it mean, the ones who loves these fruits? Those who love the good fruits, the fruits of life, will eat them. And they will have life from them. And those who love the fruits of death will also eat their fruits. And they will be consumed by their own fruits. There are times when people's actions not only determine what their own future will be, but it can go for generations and generations. We have many examples on that, but I'll cite just one. In a recent Parshan Kisetze, in Dvorim Chov Dalid, in Dvorim Chov Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Dalid, Lo Yovei Amoni Umoavi Bekal Hashem, Gandor Asiri Lo Yovei Lehem Bekal Hashem, Ad Olam. Ammon and Moab, these were the two nations that came from Lot and his daughters. You shall not accept them into the central congregation of Israel. Even 10th generation after conversion, ad olam, forever. Why? Al dvara shel ekid ma'eskem balecha v'mayim v'derech v'tzeiskem v'mitzroyim. Because when you came out of Egypt and you were coming through their land, and they are your own relatives, Lot was the nephew of Abraham, and Lot was saved because of Abraham, so they should have welcomed you with open arms, and they didn't come with food for you, but they came to meet you with the sword. And also, at another stage, they went and they hired Bilam to go and curse you. These acts will be consumed by them forever. And forever, their seed is not to be accepted into the central congregation of Klal Yisrael. There we see an act the ra, which was not good, not only bears fruit for the person himself, but for generations of his seed forever. And then we see the converse. We see in Pasuk Ches, Leisisai Vadomi Kiachicho Hu Leisisai Mitzri. Do not hate the Egyptian. If an Egyptian comes and he wants to become a ger, he wants to convert, and he wants to be a good ger, then you have to accept him. And in the third generation can marry into the central congregation of Israel. Why? But they decreed that all of our male children should be drowned in the river. Because when you needed a place to stay and you had no place, they opened their doors to you. When Yaakov came down at the time of the famine, so Pare said, give them Goshen. Goshen was the best of Eretz Mitzrayim. Let them live there in peace. That act, in spite of all of the evil of the hundreds of years of Shibud, the hundreds of years of slavery and the Merirus and the bitterness and the Yisurin that they affected Klal Yisrael with, that act stood by them. Those fruits stand by them forever. Or even though they decreed death on us, on our children, they opened their doors to you when you needed a place. Here we see where a midah tova, a good act, creates a good fruit which will stand by that person forever. So we see from this that a person has to be a chocham godel be'atzmai. He has to be a very wise person. And like Shlema Melech writes in Keles, in Perek Beis, Posuk Yud Dalet, ha'chocham eina v'reishoi. The wise, they go with their eyes in their head. Rashi says, b'tchiles ha'dover mitztakel ma'yiyeh b'seifoi. Before they do something, they use foresight and vision what will be the long-term ramification of my acts. Bahaksil and the fool, the chesek helech, Shlema Melech says. The fool walks in darkness. He does with no responsibility. No, he does. No accountability. This is what Shlema Melech said, and like we have in the Mishnah, Ezeo Chocham, who is the Chocham Hareyas Anoled, that he sees what can come from this. He looks. Something good can come from this, he runs to do it. Something bad can come from this, he runs the other way. So we see that the Torah requires from us that we are to be chachomim and not ksilim. Unfortunately, we're not all that good at being chachomim, to have foresight. But then at least the Torah required from us, at least we should be, if we cannot be chachomim in the first instance, at least we should be chachomim afterwards, hindsight. And that's what we were talking about. We're not talking about the foresight, we're talking about the hindsight. Harei odem yisurim b'ayin olav. We see difficulties, a person sees difficulties coming upon himself. He must open his eyes and to try to find out why. He sees brocha coming to him, he must open his eyes and try to find out why. These gemaras that we were bringing were basically in hindsight, not in foresight. That, for sure, we should be able to, even if we say that we're not chachomim areyas anelid, but at least We shouldn't be such ksilim, such fools that we do not see when we enter into the room and we do not see when we leave the room. But we live in total darkness. And the Rambam brings that a person who lives like that, if he thinks that things are just happening to him, he says that's kfir bashkoch has Hashem. That's atheism. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's lost control of the world. And things are happening. It's out of control. If he thinks that things come to him without purpose, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not much of a Baal Mishpat. What kind of perfect justice is that? If he thinks, some people will say, I'm not worthy of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the Baruch Hu, but I'm not worthy of it. That's a gaiva. It's a geus. It's a tremendous arrogance. Because what you're saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you so much that even though you're not worthy of the Baruch Hu, he still gave it to you. Can a person credit that to himself? The Chazal held, if you have a Baruch Hu, if we can understand you did something for it, then I understand it. But to say you did nothing and still HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you, oh, you must be really something. The Rambam goes further. The Rambam says that's a seal that walks through the world that way is an aksor. He's a cruel person. He's cruel to himself and he's cruel to the tzibor. He's cruel to himself, he's cruel to his children. Because, first of all, he ruins his life. Rambam brings at the beginning of Hilchos Taanis. Says that it's a mitzvah min HaTorah that when a tzora comes on the tzibur, let it be a tzora of heaven forbid sickness or war or famine or whatnot, we are obligated to cry out to Hashem, to blow with the shofars and the trumpets, in order and to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove this sorrow from us. But if we will not do this, but will say that this is just happening, the tzoras will nikra nikres, just happening. These are cruel people. Because geiremis lahem lihidavik v'maiseihem aroim, because this causes them to cling to their ways, b'teisiv hatzora tzoras acheres, and it causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring more tzoras to the people. And that's what we find in the rebukes in the Torah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, v'alachte mimi bikeri, if you will walk with me in that way, then I will walk with you also. What is it similar to? It's similar to when a person has a pain. So he's going to be a chocham, and he ignores the pain. What's happening? The pain is a signal. The body is signaling him that there is something that needs to be fixed. If he's wise, good. He'll go to a doctor, and the doctor will examine him and tell him what he has to fix. This is the chochem, the ksil. Now, it's just coming for no reason at all. So what will happen? The body will have to bring more pain.
to get its message across. Now it's coming for no reason at all. So the body will have to bring more pain. And meanwhile, more damage is being done because he's clinging to his own ways. So he destroys himself. And here, we destroy ourselves. And he says we destroy the tzibur, the people. The Rambam writes on this principle at the end of Parashas Bo'i. She'ein la'odem chelik b'teiris Moshe Rabbeinu. A person does not have a portion in the Torah of Moshe, ad she'na'amin b'chol dvareinu mekoreinu, until we believe totally that everything that happens to us is kulam nisim, is all miracles from Hashem. Ein behem tevo minoge shalaylam. It does not happen through an uncontrolled manner of nature, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is controlling it. Bein berabin, bein beyochid. This is with the tzibur, this is with an individual. And what is it dependent on? Im yaseh mitzvah yatzlichenu schorei. A Jew has to believe that if he does mitzvahs, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward him. Im yavar aleihem. And if he does not do the mitzvahs, yachrisenu onshei, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heaven forbid, will bring rebuke. Hakol b'gzeiris elyon. All with the decree of Hashem. Therefore, this is why we have to analyze. And this is explicit in last week's Parsha, in Parshas Nitzavim. In Parshas Nitzavim, at the end of the Parsha, in Tesvov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Re'ein asati levanecha ayom esachayim vesato vesamoves vesaro. I am placing before you today life and goodness, death and evil. And the Rashi says, Zeh toli b'zeh. Life and goodness and death and evil is dependent one on the other. Im ta'aseh tov, if you will do what's good in the Hashem's eyes, harei locha chayim, then there is life. Im ta'aseh ra, if not, then heaven forbid is mopas. And then the Torah carries on. I command you, Moshe was saying, that you have to walk in my ways, and you have to guard my mitzvahs and my judgments. Then v'chayisa v'racha Hashem elokecha. Then you will have brocha. Mim yifne levovcha. But if you will turn your hearts away from me, and you will go towards idolatry, and you will go towards other avodas, then I tell you today, ovei tovedu, there will be destruction. You will not last long in the land which I have given to you, which you are going to cross the Jordan. And I testify before you today, as I call on heaven and earth to testify, that life and death I place in your hands. Blessing and curse is in your hands. And I bid you to choose life, in order that you will live together with your seed, and you will be zeichet to all of the brochas I gave to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Rashi says, it's like a person, a father places two portions in front of a person. This is sama mobis. This is poison. This will bring you life. The choice is yours. But he kind of nudges him. Please, take that one. And the Rambam elaborates on this. It's one of the very, very fundamental and famous Rambams. Well, the Rambam elaborates, and he calls this the greatest principle of the Torah and the greatest principle of life. He says, Reshus lechol adam nesuna. He says, you should know that permission is granted to every person. If he wants to turn away, if he wants to turn himself to the way of goodness and become righteous, then permission is granted. If he wants to turn himself to an evil way, permission is granted. And that is the greatness of the human being, which no other creation enjoys. And whatever he will do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not intervene. Al yavar b'machshav tocho, do b'zeh shem im tipsiu ma'aselim v'reib gong b'nei Yisrael. He says, the ignorant of the nations of the world, the fools. And he says, even the majority of glomim, majority of people, of Jews that are not thinkers, they think HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gezer alod mitfilas biros li'ay sadik orosha. They think that it is predestined for a person if he's going to be righteous or evil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees. He says, heaven forbid, ein adover kein. He says it's within the hands of the individual to become a tzaddik, from the greatest righteous people or from the greatest evil people. And this is in everything. And no one will force him or will decree or will intervene. Either way, this is an area where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I stay out of. HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes in many areas. Says the Malach, the angel brings the seed to Hashem. And he says to Hashem, decree on this seed. Will he be tall or short? Will he be strong or poor? And so forth and so on. But Tzadik v'rosh alei nemar. He does not have permission to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will he be righteous or evil? Because that's an area that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not intervene. And that we don't say bashet. And someone who says bashet, then he's denying, first of all, he's from the Golmei Israel, from the non-thinkers of Israel, but he's denying the greatest power of the human being. The Kiman Shekain, and therefore, Nimtzeze Hacheta Hu Yitzedesatzma. And therefore, the Rambam now comes to the area which we call responsibility and accountability. He says, therefore, a person is responsible for his own life. He has to take responsibility and accountability for his own life, and he cannot pass the buck and say that the reason why I failed was his fault, or your fault, or his fault, or it was my mother's fault, or my grandmother's fault, or my son's fault, or when I grew up. No. He says, therefore, Acheta hu hifsi desatzmai, lefichach reile levakeis lekeinen al chatov. Therefore, the Rambam's writing this in Hilchos Tshuva, Perkei. He says, therefore, a person has to weep for his chatoim, because he himself did it. Since it's all put into our hands, v'dovezei iko godl, the amud ha-Torah v'amitzvos. This is the greatest principle of Torah and mitzvos. He says, if it was otherwise, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu give reward? What did you do? You didn't do anything. How could he give punishment? You didn't do anything. And then he writes, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reward or punishment not be perfect? Hashevit kol oretz liyase mishpot. This is what Avraham challenged Hashem. The judge of the whole world will not be a perfect judge. Shlema Melech said that a young man has what to rejoice over, because life is ahead of him. Smach bocher b'yaldesecho. The world we live in today, they'll tell you, I want my son to go to the campus, because he deserves that campus experience. This is what people have told me. He deserves that campus experience. I said, what was the campus experience? Oh, when I was on the campus for 3-4 years, it was wonderful. I said, what was so wonderful? What did you do? Oh, it was a whole
It was an entertainment. It was an experience. You just can't replace it. Shlema Melech said, "Smach bocha b'yaldusecha." Young man, the world is ahead of you. You can conquer the world. You can become the greatest righteous person in the world. This was put into your hands. Or heaven forbid the other. And it states, Ashri o ish, Asher yorei las Hashem kishuv ish. Fortunate is the person who fears Hashem when he's young. When he's old, no. Then it's like the Rambam says, he's got to weep on what he should have done. Yeah, why not? We get old, we think of all the things we should have done. It says, the keches go. Shlaim HaMelech didn't say Asher Yish. That's what he writes in Kehelis, the sun is setting. But he said, Smach Bocher, Asher Yish Kishu Yish. How fortunate is the man that in his youth he realizes what life is about. He realizes what the world is about. This is from the most famous Prokim chapters of the Rambam. I'd like to conclude with two stories to show that if a person goes with his eyes open and he analyzes what is happening to him or what has happened to him, how it can totally change a direction in life. One is when the tells the Rosh Yeshivas, I mean, this has happened with all of the Rosh Yeshivas, but I know in particular with the tells the Rosh Yeshivas. When they came over to America, a small group of them, handful, there was Rebbe Meir Bloch, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the son of the Telzerov, the old Telzerov, and then there was Ramot Katz, Zichreina Livracha, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was his brother-in-law, the son-in-law of the Telzerov. They originally came over in 1940, before the Holocaust, but when the trouble was already coming, and they smuggled themselves out of Europe through Siberia to America with the plan to try to get visas to bring the whole yeshiva to America. It was an arduous trip. When they finally came to America, it was shortly afterwards they found out that there was no yeshiva left to bring. The Nazis, Yimach Shemom, invaded Lithuania, and they invaded Telz. They massacred and murdered the entire city. Just about the entire city. Slowly they found out that the yeshiva was gone, outside of a few single survivors that worked their way years later to America. Their families were gone. They lost their wives. They lost children. And Walter himself had 11 children. And so on. Now this is more than enough to break anyone. In the next 10 years, they achieved miracles in America. America is Medina Kosher. America is not an easy land. It's a land where there was great opposition to Torah. Great opposition to Torah. They did not even know how to speak English. And the whole spirit of America was, cut yourself off and get away from the old country. This is the new country. And all of the Rabbonim of America just about told them, you will not build a yeshiva, a Telz yeshiva in America. This was the first yeshiva, European yeshiva, to be transplanted into America as a whole.
The next 10 years, in spite of all of this, they achieved miracles where they set up a Telz Yeshiva, which became a fortress of Torah for America. With one tenth of the tzoras that they had, would break a normal person. How did they do it? And it was constant drive with problems, with hurdles and obstacles and so on. They did it as follows. They said to themselves, out of thousands and thousands and thousands that were murdered in Europe, why was I saved? Just happened. Just happened. Or I'm such a tzaddik. There must have been a reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did save me from the furnaces of hell to come to America to enjoy myself. He saved me from the furnaces of hell because he had a job for me to do. And that's what kept them going all of the time. They could have said, like was commonly said, no, I was lucky. I got the mazel. I was saved. Now he'll give machen Geld in America. I'll go make money in America. For years they never took a salary from the yeshiva. And they moved into the dormitory because they didn't have families yet. That's how they built Telz Yeshiva. They analyzed. They had a brocha. What was the purpose of that brocha? And from there came Torah to America. I'll give you another example. Now this is a story with great gedolim. I'll give you an example of a balabos. There was another man that came to America, a German Jew. His name was Stephen Klein, good businessman. Settled in New York and opened up a chocolate factory. It was called Barton's Candy. He was a good businessman. He worked hard. It succeeded. It grew. He started to put these concessions in the biggest department stores in America, in New York, Macy's and whatnot. It grew further. He started to put these concessions in the department stores of the East. It grew further. He put these concessions in almost every major department store in America. He ultimately was to become one of the wealthiest Jews in America. Whenever you would go to one of these concessions in these very, very high-class department stores, and this I saw with my own eyes, in his corner where this Barton's Candy, national famous candy, was being sold, these chocolates, there was a sign there. These stands will be closed on Friday at 5:32. Next week at 5:35. Every one of them would close on Shabbos. The partner store remained open, but every one of those would close at Shabbos. They told him when he was starting to spread out, they said, you can't keep Shabbos in America, especially if you're going to be a businessman. I heard one day what he answered them. He said, God didn't have to save me from the furnaces of Hitler. He says, I'm not better than the millions that weren't saved. He says, and I'll guarantee you, he didn't save me to come to America to be Mechallel Shabbos. If he saved me and he gave me that brocha, it was for a reason. And my shops will be closed on Shabbos. He taught America at that time how big businesses can operate and close on Shabbos.
he became one of the greatest philanthropists of Torah in America, and also in Eretz Yisrael, to the point where he, Rabbi Aaron Kotler Zichrei Lavracha, and the other Rosh Hashivas would look at him as their right-hand man, one of their right-hand men, who was from the major supporters of yeshivas in America. And then when Chinuch Hatzmai, that was an independent school system in Eretz Yisrael, it was a gigantic undertaking. And the Baron Kotler undertook it. He told Stephen Klein that when I go, you're responsible for it. I cannot give this responsibility to anybody else except you. Had he come to America, I had the mazel of being saved. Now, good. I'll bring up my family, I'll go into business, I'll make money. It would have been a totally different direction. This was a man who saw Brocha, and he labored to understand why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving him this Brocha. He said, like Rabbi Kiva said, Torehi Ulimar HaNitzerach. We have to learn, because maybe I also will be able to do so. And he did. This is what we learn from these chazals, that one has to walk through the world with open eyes, foresight, hindsight, and assume responsibility for his actions, because they are his fruits. And he will be the one, he and his generations, to eat these fruits. May we all be zeicher to have a ksiva v'chasima tova, a year of life, of health, nachas, of simchas, prosperity, and shalom.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.